Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer, opening up the program as we usually do, not always, but usually, with the great song No One Else by Gregory Stafford. Ladies and gentlemen, while I'm thinking about it, first of all, how many of you had an opportunity to hear Linda and Charlie Bloom yesterday, Valentine's Day, talking with us about how to help make a relationship sizzle, how to truly make it great? I tell you what, I really enjoyed the two of them. If you missed it, if you weren't able to tune in to 1550 AM The Voice yesterday for that conversation that I had with the Blooms, professional counselors who've been working with people in regards to relationships in general, marriages in particular, for decades. If for whatever reason you missed that Valentine's conversation, feel free at your leisure, whether it's this Saturday, this Sunday, a day that's convenient for you, go to speakingwith.com, click on the link that's labeled Listen Online at your convenience, and you're going to go to February 14th, 2019. Or if you have a search bar feature, you can type in Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, Bloom, and it'll pull up your options for you. You want to hear that conversation. By the way, we'll be hearing from them again, too. I'll be letting you know when. Great couple. Great couple. This Sunday, I want to see if you'll join me in just kind of giving our minds and our hearts something to sort of at least consider. It has to do with immigrants and refugees trying to make their way into the land of the free, the home of the brave, America the beautiful. Kent Annan has written a book entitled You Welcomed Me, and it focuses on immigrants and refugees, their needs, and the responses of the people of the nations that they travel to in hopes of being able to live a better life. How do we as Americans respond to immigrants and refugees? What do the real statistics tell us about the matter of safety when it comes to immigrants and refugees? What do the statistics tell us about the reality of the job situation when immigrants and refugees are vying for jobs in America? What do the numbers tell us about the true impact on the nation's economy when immigrants and refugees impact that economy? All of that and more will be part of the discussion, and you'll be able to hear that this Sunday, February 17th, at 1 o'clock, 1550 AM The Voice, at 1 o'clock, Kent Annan. I'll be speaking with him about immigrants and refugees and our response to them. I definitely want you to join me. That conversation will be followed by the resumption of a discussion we were having before, where I was encouraging us to evaluate our politics. And this one is a discussion that's specifically significant for religious leaders, Christian leaders, who have been given the opportunity to talk with people in power, with our politicians, especially those at the highest levels of politics. But it is also a message to the politicians as well. It's a discussion for you. For you. And I truly see it that way. It is a discussion for you. So that will be this Sunday, February 17th, at 2 p.m. 1550 AM, The Voice. And remember, any of these discussions that you're wanting to hear or hear again, maybe ask someone else to listen to. Maybe they missed it. You heard it when we were recording, when we were broadcasting live, and you say, oh, you know what? I'd like for so-and-so to hear this. Well, you can go to so-and-so, that friend, that family member, whoever it is, whoever he or she is, and let them know. They can go to speakingwith.com, click on listen online at your convenience, and they can listen to the conversation of your choice, the one that you want them to hear. All right. This is Power Friday, and we're going to use our power to reduce our stress. Why? Because our hearts will love us for it. Yes, all of our body will love us for reducing the stress, but especially our hearts. So we're going to get some help from Everyday Health and looking at some specific steps we can take to reduce stress. Now, that said, let me start here with this truth. A little bit of an emotional stress can be healthy. A little emotional stress can be healthy. It's what propels us to meet deadlines. It helps us get things accomplished. But of course, deadlines shouldn't be all the time. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be facing deadlines 7 days a week or even 5 days a week. Every week of every month, all through the year. That's too much stress. A little stress can be healthy. How many of you have noticed that positive stress seems to kick in when you use one of those techniques that helps you stay on top of what you need to do? And so, for instance, you type up, how you do it, your list of things to do. And on that list, you have everything you plan to accomplish for that day. Let's just keep it simple. Let's just look at one day at a time right now. Everything you plan to accomplish for that day. And you not only have it written down, but you have that list prioritized so that based on whatever reasoning you've used, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have everything lined up or numbered in the order in which you want to achieve that task. And you've noticed over time that whenever you complete an item on that list of things to do, you complete a task, you draw that one line through that task, it just sort of gets you pumped up and ready to move on to the next task to do a good job of completing it so you can move on to the one after that. That can be a positive stress. It kicks in some of those, the flow of some of those chemicals that help us feel good in a positive way. We definitely feel like we're being productive because we are being productive. Man, you have, let's just say, 5 things on that list of things to do for that day. And by 3:30, 4 o'clock, whatever time, that's reasonable. You're drawing your line through the last one. You look at it real briefly. Yeah, I accomplished this, 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 and this. That is a good feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, you feel productive because you are productive. And that's a good thing. And so you have that going, and then, okay, you're going to do the same thing tomorrow, list of things to do. But you're sort of getting a view for the long picture, too. And you realize that 4 days from now, there's a major assignment that you need to have accomplished, whether it's an academic assignment for school, whether it's something dealing with a job, something major that needs to be completed by such and such a date, by such and such a time. You have a deadline. Whether you give yourself plenty of time to work on that, have it accomplished, have it turned in on time, or you decide you're going to wait till the last minute You're going to wait till the last minute and then you're going to jump on it. Well, that's going to be some super pressure. Super pressure. I know a lot of people say they work well under pressure. That may be true, too. There are people who do work well under pressure. But as I've said before, just because we do work well when we are under pressure, that doesn't mean we do not work well when we are not under pressure. You think about all the things that you do that you get accomplished when you're not under pressure. That is proof positive that you also work well when you're not under pressure. So, as much as we can avoid excess pressure, let's avoid it. But there are just going to be times when the stress is going to be there. It's going to be unavoidable. But hopefully, that is the exception and not the rule. Because research shows that chronic excessive stress may be as bad for your heart as eating a high-fat diet and having a sedentary lifestyle. A high-fat diet. In other words, that's the way you eat the vast majority of the time. High-fat stuff. And your couch potato. Chronic excessive stress can be as bad for your heart as constantly eating high-fat foods and sitting still all the time. Almost never exercising. Chronic excessive stress can do the same thing to the heart. A study using positron emission tomography, computerized tomography, PET CT scans of the amygdala. The amygdala is known as the brain's fear and stress center. Sheds light on the connection. These tests showed that people who had increased activity in their amygdala had more inflammation in their arteries and their bone marrow. Now, since this is in the brain, the amygdala is in the brain, they scanned that amygdala to look at the connection between stress and impact on the heart. Since the amygdala is in the brain, we could almost be tempted to assume that all the signs of the excess stress would be strictly centered on the brain. That's where we would see all the signals that this person is overly stressed. But no. Mm-mm. Increased activity in the amygdala showed more inflammation in arteries and bone marrow. Ladies and gentlemen, we really are all that makes us us. The physical part of us, the invisible part of us. Stress, we don't see, but we sure see its results. And check this out now. The stress having a direct impact on the brain, and that brain, especially the amygdala, inflamed, amygdala overly stressed, overly active because of the stress, more inflammation in arteries and bone marrow. Who would have thought that the bone marrow would have been impacted by stress? Over time, and up to 5 years later, those with a more consistently activated amygdala were 60% more likely to have a heart attack. So, one thing about stress. We can say that it can be subjective. Now, does that mean that if we decide that a situation is not stressful, does that mean it's not stressful? More on that in just a few. Stay with me.